Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America here in Washington. I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening we'll talk about the legacy of former President of Tanzania, John Pombe Magufuli. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macori, Managing Editor, TV, English to Africa. How are you, Vincent?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Welcome to the show. And joining us is a regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very much welcome. As I said, we're looking at the legacy of Magufuli, the former president of Tanzania, who passed away recently. Tanzania now has a new president, a lady for that matter. Vincent, first of all, general comment about what impact Magufuli actually did have in his short 5 years.
Well, in fact, Magufuli had quite an impact in the country of Tanzania, coming to power with a reputation of a man who makes things happen, known as the bulldozer, yeah. Right from the days as a cabinet minister. He came forcefully, especially when it came to trying to fight corruption, which became like one of the most remarkable achievement he was making right at the beginning of his term, the first term, and so he started off in a way that became admired Africa-wide and perhaps beyond, in how he wanted to hold people accountable, in how he wanted the country's infrastructure and other projects to take off and be implemented without delay, but also in a transparent way. He was holding even foreign companies accountable. He was not scared or afraid of disappointing people or hurting people's feelings. He was known, especially from the beginning, was a man who called people out and demanded answers on the spot, and he wanted to show that he was for the small people, for the poor people. He made it very clear that he came from poverty and therefore he could relate with the poor people. So across Tanzania, one of the things that you will notice is that especially the poor people, the people who consider themselves as having been forgotten, identified with him and were very excited with him and felt that he is the man who feels, who sees them and feels for them and really wants the best for them. And he went out to resolve certain issues to do with the small scale business people, those guys on the streets in Dar es Salaam and elsewhere. And he traversed the country also trying to make sure that justice is done to the people of Tanzania when it came to local leadership, when it came to administration issues, whether it was legal issues, whether it was land problems, whether it was just problems that were bedeviling the individuals. So that is one of the impacts that Magufuli would leave across the country. He was a force to reckon with. When he put his mind, whatever he had put his mind to do, he was relentless. Whether it's a fight against corruption, whether it is holding people accountable, including administrators at the provincial level, he was relentless. And so as we continue discussing, we'll see why, at the end of the day, we can say his legacy was a mixed bag of certain remarkably great things and other things that were not particularly, positive for the country and in terms of the image of the nation itself.
Suleiman, your general comment before we go to the... He was a very controversial man at the same time. But general legacy-wise, what do you have to say about that?
First of all, given the outpouring emotions that we saw in Tanzania, it is very clear, as Vincent has said, that he was a man of the people, and the people really felt sad that he had departed. The same outpouring also goes out in the region. You will appreciate that in East Africa, DRC, Kenya, Uganda, they had even to the flags had to fly half-mast in honor of the very man. That one also shows that he really had a touch as far as the region is concerned. But to add on what Vincent has said, really ever since the death of Nkrumah possibly, and then Sankara, and then the post-independent generation in East Africa, people like Kenyatta, people like Nyerere, that caliber of leaders, we had not had a person who is so down to earth, who is so pro-people, who thinks and sleeps and breathes the need to support the local man on the street, the need to empower the people, the need to make the life of the people better. His life, the legacy which he leaves behind, is that he's not an elitist. He's a man of the people. He was a simple man himself. He led a simple life. He never traveled lavishly. He never bought mansions abroad. His major emphasis was on the people. So really, that is why I also add on to what Vincent has said, that really the people of Tanzania missed a great leader, though controversial as we have shall see. But even East Africa, you will find that it has taken a whole week when the media in Uganda, the media in Kenya is just occupied by Magufuli. So that one shows the impact which he really put on the whole region apart from Tanzania.
I see. Vincent, Magufuli, as some of you alluded, he was a very controversial man. And some people say he was a democratically elected president who ruled like an autocrat. He made things move. But in that mixed bag of things, he actually had work done.
You know, you could also say he acted like a benevolent dictator. He looked. He very much wanted the best for the country. His approach, though, was from many perspectives not necessarily very democratic, not in the fashion of democracy that is understood, especially from the West. He was a man who wanted things done, and he did not want to be impeded by certain rules, certain, you know, democratic bureaucracies and discussions. He wanted to make sure things happened fast, things happen transparently, and that the people of Tanzania can see the benefit of his government. So he was controversial in that manner, in that he had no time for any systems, which in this case would be democratic system, that would slow down his progress, his policies. So, for example, when it came to holding people accountable, he never wanted to go through long processes. He would call out a person and say, why is this not ready? Why hasn't this been done? I want this done by such and such a time. If not, you're out. Okay, there was money allocated to you for this particular project. Where is the money? If you've been found to have stolen the money or you're corrupt, you'll be kicked out of the job and held accountable. And when it came to things to do with even engagement with the foreign companies, he wanted to make sure that they can, you know, they respond immediately. He didn't want anything done secretly. He didn't want long, convoluted processes and discussions. But because of the way he wanted things done, he found it very difficult to deal with freedom of expression, for example, and the media. That is how benevolent dictators do act. He resented criticism of the way he was doing things. He resented any perception that was being created of him being an democratic leader, because as far as he was concerned, he wanted to improve the people of Tanzania by any means possible. So he did not understand why anybody would see that as something negative. And it, by the same token, also, he had a problem with the opposition. because the opposition would criticize his leadership style, and he wouldn't brook those kind of criticism from the opposition, and that's why he ended up being so harsh on the opposition and clamping down on the opposition and freedom of expression and the media, because one of the things for him, from his perspective, is that by criticizing him, you're undermining him. And what he was doing was for the good of Tanzania. Why would you criticize that? Why would you undermine that? And so he would silence you so that you're out of the way. He did not want anything to impede his progress in whatever he had put his mind to do.
Suleiman, as Vincent says there, he had results, he had things done, but again, it's a style that most people are concerned about. Were you concerned about his style too? Because people called him even a bulldozer.
But I feel that Magufuli will be exonerated by history. I think those who criticize his style, there is lack of understanding what the man's mission was. I think, as Vincent has said, the man's mission was to deliver development, was to break from the democracy that had been introduced after the end of the Cold War. The democracy which was introduced, either we in Africa misunderstood it or we adulterated it. It was anti-democracy, which is a democracy which is commercialized, a democracy which is perpetuating poverty. If you look at the countries which are purported to have democratized, have they delivered a development, or they have delivered corruption, or they have delivered self-aggrandizement? Is the type of democracy which we have, is it developmental democracy like the democracy which they have in the developed countries? All for us, we adulterated it, and we are having another form of democracy. If you understand him from that perspective, then he did not have any room for the type of democracy which we have in most countries in Africa, where you will say we have got democracy in DRC when they are looting the country. We have got democracy in Uganda when the country is being looted. We have got election in democracy in Cameroon when the country, in Gambia, in Chad, all those countries in the 1990s, they jumped on the bandwagon of democracy, but it is not proper democracy which was introduced. It is predatory democracy which was introduced. So if the man was allergic to the predatory democracy, that is why he had no patience whatsoever. If it was democracy, which is pure democracy, which is advocating for development, then opposition leaders will be clear in their opposition. But if you are opposing for the sake of coming to power when you don't have a clear program, then he had no patience for you. That is why I feel when you compare it, which you contrast it with the kind of democracy which is all over Africa, then we should really exonerate the gentleman. As Vincent has said, he had no time. He was on the mission and he wanted to accomplish that mission within 10 years. And even he wanted to accomplish the mission within any time which God has given him. Because remember, he was a God-fearing man. So he knew any time he can die. That is why he wanted to do as much as possible. Secondly, I think we also fail to understand the ideology. Many people have not understood possibly the ideology of Magufuli. When I look at Magufuli, I look at a man who was around after the collapse of the Cold War, who saw how the structural adjustment program produced to the countries of Africa. He saw what the IMF and World Bank had done to Africa. If you look at his policies, he was looking at reversing all the effects of those policies which were introduced. So in that one, if you examine the structural adjustment programs, the way they brought in democracy and the way they brought it, it was just disempowering Africa. So if the mission was to reverse the IFM and World Bank policies, then he was justified not to have no patience, because it meant that they were going to drag him down and he could not accomplish what he wanted to accomplish.
I see. Recent, any reaction to Suleiman's observation there?
Well, I do agree with Suleiman on many fronts. Magufuli was a person, first, it looked like he was a person who felt like he needed to do as much as he can within the time he had. There was an urgency in his actions. And when we look at what he did, what he was doing on the ground, you really appreciate that he had, of course, been part of the previous government. In fact, the previous administration was fairly democratic, had allowed the media to be much more freer than during his time. But you see, he wasn't so impressed with what was happening under the so-called very democratic, open government in terms of engagement of the people. Why? Because at the same time, the people are getting poorer and poorer. Those who are in the system who have access were getting richer and richer. The evidence is there. And so even learning from countries in the neighborhood, he could easily make a case that, so what if Kenya is very democratic, Kenyan people can say whatever they want, if they can write anything they want or put anything on TV, yet every day, President Kenyatta has acknowledged, millions of dollars are being lost to corruption. Millions of people are falling into poverty every day. So Magufuli was a person who wanted things to change and to change fast. And he wanted to do that in a very transparent way. And so democracy became something that wasn't necessarily very critical to his vision of the country. I mean, if you look at, what is perceived as democracy, he didn't believe that he needed to engage with people who have no vision similar to his. He did not have time for people who are just busy criticizing, because at the end of the day, you cannot be perfect in whatever you do. And so he felt like those who were criticizing him, either through the media or through other forums, were not focusing on what he was doing, on the positive developments, his desire, his true desire for the country. All they were doing is trying to find fault in him. Fault with his style. Nobody could question the sincerity of what he was doing for the country. Nobody could challenge the achievements he was making, for example, in fighting corruption across the country, the continent of Africa, right? Especially from the beginning of his first term. Everybody was talking about Magufuli and Magufulification of the continent of Africa. Everybody admired how he was approaching the fight against corruption. Nobody in any country of Africa today had that kind of approach, where he was, he was out there and he was holding people accountable, and he was demanding that Tanzania's money has to be to serve the people of Tanzania, but not go into the pockets of individuals. So, when you look at that, I would agree with Suleiman that when people look back, some years from now, yes, they will probably forgive Magufuli for some of the things he did wrong, and they will look at what he had achieved, or what he may not have achieved too much, but he set a template that any future Tanzanian president can be judged from, the kind of template that Magufuli left, especially in the fight against corruption, in implementation of infrastructure development and other projects that are for the people, in how they'll approach, the issues that face the poor and struggling people of Tanzania. Anybody who will do less than that will find themselves having a very difficult time to face Tanzanians, because Magufuli is image, in Magufuli's template, Magufuli's spirit will always be present in Tanzania. He has had that kind of impact, and I do agree that perhaps since the first leaders of post-independence, nobody seems to have captured the imagination of the continent of Africa like Magufuli. Yeah, so there's a lot. There's a lot. As an imperfect human being, there are quite a number of things he didn't do right, but he meant well for his country. He meant really well. And if you compare, sorry to go a bit longer, if you compare to other leaders across the region who have, instead of fighting corruption, they have actually, they are part of the corruption. They have allowed corruption, and millions of dollars are being lost, and we never see anybody in any of the surrounding countries being held accountable because of stealing government resources the way Magufuli was holding people accountable.
I see. For those just
exactly.
Okay, let me introduce the program, then you can go ahead. For those that's joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you from VOA in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing the legacy of John Pombe Magufuli, who passed away just recently. And our panelists are Vincent Makori, my colleague, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Simpuga, here in Washington. Suleiman, I'll allow you to respond, but further to that, Magufuli seems to have disabused people, African leaders who think for them to have an impact, for them to fight corruption and improve infrastructure development and lift their people from poverty, you need a long, long, long time. He managed to do at least something small, at least put a temporary solution aside in the very short 5 years.
Yeah. To begin with, before I even touch that one, I wanted to add on what Vincent was saying. At the moment in Africa, we can say with certainty that most of the government, much as they profess to be democratic, they have failed to make an impact on corruption. We can testify that in Kenya, they have failed as far as corruption. President Kenyatta has failed as far as corruption is concerned. In Uganda, it is just a horrible state. It is inherently, corruption is the order of the day. It is a national policy. South Sudan, DRC, and I can assure you, Douglas and the listeners, that there is no leader in Africa today who can fight corruption if he's going to allow democracy and free speech in the manner which is being exercised today. If, for example, you find a government minister or a government official who has embezzled government, who has embezzled public funds, and he has to be investigated, taken to court, then go into the due process of law, then he hires the best lawyers, then he bribes the judges, then he escapes. Remember, corruption now, it is a cartel. So when the man comes up, in your so-called free media, the man comes and he orders a permanent secretary, he orders a minister to be arrested, he orders a manager to be arrested, and then the media just shouts and says, the man is dictatorial. What can you do? The man had just to close them up. If there is electrification, someone has been given a tender and the tender was given in the wrong way, he orders the stopping of that tender. He orders immediate suspension of the tender, the way he did with the people, the type of actions which he took in the finance sector when he discovered that many of the foreign bureaus were not declaring, and he immediately suspended. Of course, what he was doing is he was not following the constitution. Of course, it looked funny in a democratic and free country, but he was forced to do it because if he cannot do it, then things won't be done because that is a cartel. Who owns the media in this democratic state? It is those who are corrupt. It is those who are in power. So if they are the ones who own the media, if they are the ones who are in the political parties, then they become untouchable, and then corruption becomes very difficult to fight. Any country, the template which he has left as far as corruption is concerned, the template which Magufuli has left behind is very clear. One, the leader yourself, you don't need to be corrupt. Once you are not corrupt, you have to take decisive stand. The steps. You may not follow the law, but you have to deliver justice. That is as far as Magufuli is concerned. When we come to as far as the leadership is concerned, the template, I think most of the leaders, especially those who are dictatorial, were so much ashamed about Magufuli. People like Museveni, people like Kagame, people like Deby, people like the one in Cameroon, all that lot, which is undemocratic. The man has done what they have not done in 30 years, in 25 years. He has done them in 5 years, which is a very, very big shock to the continent. That is why, as you are saying, the template which he has left behind is a very big template and a wonderful template. We should be emulated by other African leaders.
I see. Vincent, we're running out of time, but in the next 1 minute, the disabusing of this, the longer you stay in power, the more you can develop the country. Your comment on that? Because he did something really tangible.
Definitely, that is a total lie. We've seen it. We have seen the leaders who have stayed. I don't have to mention those countries, whether it's Cameroon or whatever, where leaders have been there for 30 or more years. Countries have remained as poor as you can imagine. And the Magufuli contradicted that by the way he acted. But the truth is that you can never throw stones if you live in a glass house. One of the reasons why all these African countries remain poor and their leaders corruption persists is because those very same leaders are not there to develop their countries. They are there to help themselves. All those involved in corruption are either their friends, their family members, and they can never do what Magufuli did, where he could call out a person and ask them, where is the money? And challenge them and hold them accountable. Because for them, somebody can turn around and say, hey, how about you? About this tender, about that kind of, that money, that building, and so on and so forth. Magufuli led by example. He could fight corruption because he was not involved in corruption. So, and he proved that within 5 years or shorter, you can do so much, which many of the African leaders have not achieved in many years because they have no intention. They have no intention of helping their country.
One word, Vincent, before you go, do you think his modus operandi will continue with the new leadership, or maybe?
I think we're going to see a little change. We're going to see a little change, but they will. The new leader has shown that she wants to follow, to stay with that, style of leadership, but with some modification. On corruption will continue, but her approach will be a bit different.
Suleiman, one word. Will you think it will continue or it will not? One word.
It will continue, but modify.
I see. Unfortunately, we're out of time. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Macori, Managing Editor, TV, English to Africa, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder, you can access this program by going to our main website at voanews.com, and you can find it there. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, wishing you all the best.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me with a panel of VOA journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including the ongoing trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who is charged in the death of George Floyd. The world reacts unanimously to police brutality in America. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.